This Monday morning on Wake Up With Hope, we have a wonderful message brought to us by our friends from Voice of Prophecy, music from the Neblett family, health news, and another recipe from Gia and Olive.
Stay with us. Happy Monday morning to you, and thank you for joining us this Monday morning here at Wake Up With Hope.
It's another great day on Wake Up With Hope, and we are so excited to be waking up with you, kicking off the week, sharing the hope and love of Jesus together.
And today is National Podcast Day. Did you know that?
I love podcasts.
Oh, yeah. You know, podcasts are all the rave today. The word podcast essentially came from the marriage of the words iPod and broadcast. Makes sense.
Yeah.
And celebrate this day by finding an inspiring and encouraging podcast, or even start your own.
Friends, as summer draws to a close, cooler weather is upon us. Cooler weather calls for cozy evenings in the warmth. What's better than spending a cozy evening with loved ones? Adding popcorn, one of my favorite foods.
Yeah.
So on today's program, we have a special popcorn recipe that is sure to add some delight to your cozy fall evenings. That is coming up in just a minute.
But first, let's take a look back at what took place on this day in history.
On this day in history, in 1954, the USS Nautilus, the world's first nuclear submarine, was commissioned by the U.S. Navy on September 30, 1954. Under the leadership of Captain Hyman G. Rickover, who led the Navy's nuclear propulsion program, the Nautilus was developed ahead of schedule. Its keel was laid by President Truman in 1952, and on January 21, 1954, First Lady Mamie Eisenhower launched it into the Thames River. The Nautilus ran under nuclear power for the first time on January 17, 1955.
And just as Captain Hyman G. Rickover's dedication led to a groundbreaking achievement, our commitment to following God's path will also lead to remarkable outcomes in our lives. You know, Philippians 4:13 reminds us, I can do all things through Him who gives me strength. You know, this verse encourages us to rely on God's strength and wisdom in all our endeavors. And as we strive towards our goals and face obstacles, let us be inspired by this Nautilus story to trust in God's plan and to work diligently with the gifts and opportunities He provides. With faith and perseverance, we can navigate through our challenges and achieve great things, knowing that God is with us every step of the way.
Amen. Well, it's Monday, and Gia and Olive are back with the recipe we promised. This morning, they're teaching us how to make sweet and salty popcorn.
Yummy.
It's sure to be a favorite this coming season.
Today, we are going to make a lunchbox special, aren't we?
It's maple syrup popcorn.
Yeah, it's popcorn, but it's the sweet and salty popcorn, the one that you pay like $10 to buy at the shops, the expensive one. So we just decided to try it at home for our movie night or movie lunches, isn't it? And it turned out so good that we thought we'd share it with you because it's a quick and easy snack to make for the kids for school and at home. So this is how easy it is. All you need is a paper bag and a quarter cup of popcorn kernels. Do you want to
fill them?
They feel nice. Oh, they feel lovely.
Hey!
Can you put it in the bag?
I'll put
it in the bag. Now make sure you seal the bag well by just folding it over a few times.
Can I put it in the microwave?
Yep, you can put it in the microwave and then you just microwave it for 2 minutes. Okay, let's go. Now we've just put it in the microwave and we're going to let it pop. Now we've put 2 minutes there, but if you hear it popping and then all of a sudden you hear it popping just slowly and not many popping, then you know it's pretty ready to go. So you could even take it out before the 2 minutes. Now while that's popping, I'm going to tell you what we're going to do for the topping. We are going to add a teaspoon of butter, or we use like a dairy-free butter, in a bowl, and a tablespoon of some maple syrup, or even less. You don't even need to put a tablespoon in there. And we are going to melt it in the microwave when this is finished. Our little package is ready. And it's hot. Quick, jump up. How awesome is that? No oil, no stovetop. Look at that awesome popcorn. Is that cool? Okay, so we're going to put our popcorn in there. I'll add a little bit of salt now. Just a touch of salt, and then I'll mix that through. Oh, yeah, that's what's fun about popcorn, getting it everywhere. Now we've got the melted topping, which is just the maple syrup and a little bit of the dairy-free butter. Mixing it through. And with the salt that's already on there, it's a bit hot, so just drizzle. Do you want to help me drizzle? Oh, it's hot. Okay, so just drizzle it on top. And then mix it through quickly so it doesn't wet too many, so they could still be crunchy. You want them to be still crunchy and not soggy. Wow. Okay, is that cool? Do you want to try one? Just a touch sweet, a touch salty. So good. Now, I'm going to put them in little Ziploc bags. You can do it on a Sunday. We'll put on some for you for lunch. You can do it on a Sunday, and you can actually lock up the bag, and the kids have their, you let it cool down, make sure you let it cool down so it doesn't get soggy. Lock up the bag and the kids have their popcorn lunch. Did you like that?
Dr. Nerida McKibben joins us now to share some health news.
In the headlines today, a diet for irritable bowel syndrome, alcohol shrinks the brain, and more muscle, less disease. Various diets are promoted for the treatment of irritable bowel syndrome, or IBS, so researchers put three diets to the test. 99 people with IBS were divided into three groups. One group ate a traditional diet of regular, healthy meals with proper portion sizes, minimizing processed, fatty, gas-producing foods, drinks, and alcohol, and maintaining good hydration. The second group ate a diet low in fermentable carbs, such as wheat, some dairy products, and veggies like artichokes, asparagus, onions, and garlic. The third group were assigned a gluten-free diet. After 4 weeks on their diets, there was a significant reduction in symptoms for 58% of the gluten-free group, 55% of the low FODMAP group, and 42% of the traditional diet group. And while not as successful, the traditional diet eaters were more willing to stay on their assigned diet. As little as one alcoholic drink per day is linked to a reduction in overall brain volume, according to a large study involving 37,000 healthy middle-aged people. Participants completed questionnaires and medical history interviews along with brain imaging. Higher alcohol consumption, especially when intake was consistent, was associated with widespread reductions in almost all regional gray matter volumes, in global brain volume, and in white matter microstructure. As consumption increased from 1 unit to 2 units a day in 50-year-olds, brain loss was equivalent to 2 years of aging, and drinking up to 3 units a day was equivalent to 3.5 years of aging. 2 units is equivalent to a pint of beer or a glass of wine, and in many countries, women are advised not to exceed that amount each day, and men not more than twice that amount, both of which were associated in this study with reduced brain volumes. According to a new study, regular muscle strengthening activity may lower the risk of cancer, diabetes, cardiovascular disease, and even death. By combining the results of 16 studies, researchers were able to assess the relationship between these diseases and muscle strengthening activities, which included resistance, strength, and weight training, as well as calisthenics. Using a baseline of little to no muscle strengthening activity, researchers grouped participants into activity levels, and they learned that the most benefit could be gained by spending 30 to 60 minutes per week doing muscle strengthening activities. So while it's easy to remember to do daily aerobic exercise, it's easy to forget to strengthen your arms, legs, butt, and core. I'm Dr. Nerida McKibben, and that's today's health news.
Are you enjoying today's show? Well, inspire someone else and share us with a friend, or you can visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup to see more inspiring content. And subscribe to our YouTube channel to keep up with us there.
We'll see you in just a few. Wake Up with Hope. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope. We are blessed to be with you this morning.
The Nebelev family is blessing us today in song as they remind us of the sweet promise that our Redeemer is surely faithful. This morning they sing, "My Redeemer is faithful and true."
As I look back on this road I've traveled, I see so many times He carried me through. If there's one thing that I've learned in my life, it's my Redeemer is faithful and true. My Redeemer is faithful and true. Everything He has said, He will do. And every morning His mercies are new. My Redeemer is faithful and true.
Rejoices when I read the promise. There is a place that I'm preparing for you. I know someday I'll see my Lord face to face, 'cause my Redeemer is faithful and true.
My Redeemer is faithful and true. And in every situation, He has proved His love for me. When I lack the understanding, more grace He gives to me. My Redeemer is faithful. My Redeemer, my Redeemer is faithful and true.
Well, it's time for us to take a short break as we get ready for the motivating devotional thought this morning. When we return, our friends from the Voice of Prophecy will be here with us to share. Don't go anywhere.
Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope, friends. We pray your day is starting off on the right foot as you bask in the love and peace found in Jesus.
And now we have our friends from Voice of Prophecy sharing this morning's devotional thought.
A few years ago, when our family was living in Simi Valley, California, a friend visited me from out of town. I took her just up the hill from our house to the Reagan Presidential Library. On display that afternoon was a special traveling exhibit. It was called The White House in Miniature. It was wonderful, and we lost track of time enjoying the ornate display. This miniature replica of the White House is incredibly well done. It's built on a 1x1 scale, so 1 inch in the model represents 1 foot in the actual White House. It's a brilliant to scale replica of the president's home at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. John and Jan Swieffa created this magnificent model in 1962, and each year since, it's been painstakingly maintained and expanded. The model includes miniature working televisions, hand-carved tables, chairs and bed frames, and crystal chandeliers. The attention to detail continues, with miniature portraits matching the originals in the White House. The floors and walls are lined with tapestries and carpets, recreated stitch by stitch and thread by thread, each a faithful miniature reproduction. The incredible miniature White House is patterned after the real building on Pennsylvania Avenue. Every detail is a small-scale reflection of the real canvases, carpets, and furnishings in that home. And just as the creators followed a pattern of a real existing place, so did Moses when God asked him to build a sanctuary here on earth. Moses recorded God's instructions faithfully. We can read about God's plan and his instructions for his temple in the books of the Old Testament. Well, when God first asked his people to build him a temple, a place for him to dwell among them, they listened. The first temple was in a tent in the wilderness. This was followed later by a temple at Shiloh. And next was Solomon's temple, a beautiful structure that glimmered in the desert. That temple was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar's army in 586 BC. The temple was eventually rebuilt and dedicated in 515 BC. Now, this rebuilt temple, it was still standing at the time that Jesus lived and ministered here on earth. It's the one that Jesus visited. Here, he stood up and read, and he overthrew the merchants' tables. That temple was destroyed, just as Jesus predicted it would be, in 70 AD. Now, each of these buildings was different physically, but each also had distinct similarities. Each earthly sanctuary followed a pattern of the sanctuary in heaven. The temples, the earthly sanctuary, was a miniature, a copy of the heavenly sanctuary. Yet, even Solomon's temple, in all of its beauty, it could not capture the majesty of heaven. But that wasn't the purpose of the earthly sanctuaries, the temples. You see, every detail of the earthly sanctuary, the furniture, the sacrificial system, all of it pointed to Jesus. It all told the story of the ultimate sacrifice, the sacrifice that Jesus would make at the cross. The earthly temples were a model of God's plan of redemption, of God's plan to save his people. From the very beginning of our world, God had a plan to save us, to recover his children from the effects of sin, a plan to restore us to a right relationship with him. And that plan from the beginning was Jesus. Revelation 13 and verse 8 describes Jesus as the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Throughout the ages, there has only been one way to be saved. The disciples, Peter and John, they knew this. When these two disciples were arrested for preaching about Jesus, they stood before the Sanhedrin. And Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, he boldly spoke about Jesus and God's plan to save us through him. It's recorded for us in Acts chapter 4 and verses 11 and 12. This is what they say. "This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Here, Peter is quoting verses from the Old Testament. Jesus is this cornerstone, the foundation of the divine plan of redemption. From the time of creation until the last moments of Earth's history, there's only one name under heaven where men and women may be saved: Jesus. Well, what did this plan to save us look and feel like in Old Testament times? Well, in the Old Testament, God showed his people a way to worship him through the sacrificial system. And this system pointed forward and was an example of what Jesus' death on the cross would do. The entire sacrificial system pointed forward to Jesus, to our redemption on the cross. The Israelite temple and sanctuary, it was the heart of this system. It was a picture, however fuzzy, of God's plan to save his people. You know, when my friend and I stood in front of the miniature White House exhibit, we saw a model of the president's home. After staring at it for hours, I felt as if I knew this home, like I knew which rooms were used for sleeping and where the family ate their meals. Like I knew which pieces of art decorated the corridors and even the guest rooms. I felt as if I had visited, although I still have never toured the White House. This miniature model gave me a feeling of what the home was like, but it came nowhere close to visiting the real thing. I couldn't smell the family's dinner cooking in the kitchen. I couldn't feel the smooth finish of the curved staircase banister. I couldn't see the details in Gilbert Stuart's painting of George Washington. I couldn't feel the threads of the woven carpet underfoot as I walked across it. The miniature is a copy, and I have no doubt that the real home at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue is significantly better in every way. So too, heaven will be significantly better in every way than anything here on earth. And living forever with Jesus our Savior? Well, there's no replica for that. I'm thankful to start this new week with you, our Hope Channel family, once again. Let's pray together this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to experience all that heaven offers, to smell the flowers, to leap with the deer and sit with the lions, to see the nail scars on your hands and feet. Lord, this world is a poor reflection of your plan for us. This new week, remind us of your plan, of our future, and fill us with hope for that joyful day. Amen. You know, Jan and John Swyfa are talented artists. Visiting their miniature White House gives a person a good sense of the original and its purpose. God's purpose has always been the same, to save us through his son Jesus. And that's hope, hope for you this new week.
Thank you for blessing us this morning.
And friends, thank you so much for being with us today and watching Wake Up With Hope.
Please join us tomorrow as Jesus 101 will be here to share a morning devotional. We'll have a dedicated prayer session, a special feature, and more.
And if you enjoyed today's messages and would like to learn more about the Bible, visit hope.study to receive your free Bible study guides.
You know, our free Bible study guides have been so life-changing for so many people. Again, friends, that's hope.study.
Now, before we go, we want to share with you a Bible promise. And today's Bible promise is found in Philippians chapter 4, verse 7.
And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
Oh, what a beautiful promise. You know, friends, we hope you enjoyed our time with us today. I know we enjoyed it very much. And from the bottom of our hearts, we wish you a happy Monday. Honey, why don't you pray for us today?
Okay. Dear Lord, thank you so much for being with us as we have shared together this morning. And you know that we may cross difficult moments today, and we need your Holy Spirit to fill us as we step out into our day. So please fill us, renew us, and bless us in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.